I'm a minister at the church in Wentzville where this church planted from. And so every time I get to come over here, it's an awesome thing to get to meet new faces and new people, and also get to see people who moved over here to help start the Crossings Collinsville that I love very much. And, you know, what we've experienced over in Wentzville has been really cool because we moved over there actually from Illinois with 30 people and planted that church. And to see it grow over the years has been incredible. And not because you see the church get bigger in number, but because what we've had the opportunity to see is people's lives really be changed. And we believe that's what God wants to do, and that's what he does and has the power to do, is take people's lives and make them something better. And actually, it's one of the things we like to celebrate at the Crossing. So, Jake, you want to come up here real quick? One of the things we like to celebrate is when that actually happens, when people's lives, they find the power of God at work in their lives, and everything starts to change for them. So I'm going to have Jake make a couple announcements, and then we'll jump into the lesson.
Yeah, so like Harry was saying, whenever we like Mr. Life to Christ, you know, just like a baby being born on the earth, a baby being born in Christ, and we really like to celebrate. And so we had a couple people that chose this week to give their life to Christ. Titan, why don't you come on up? Got great Bible knowledge, and one of the biggest weaknesses I think Tyler can say is that he's never had a family to connect that knowledge with. And I think that it's really cool because not only did he commit his life to Christ, but he committed his life to a family as well to grow in love with. So we love you a lot, man, and we're going to help you out with your first few months of your life, all right? A lot of time at our house with my wife, and Anna and Holly said the Bible with her, and it's really cool to see how much you've become part of our physical family, not only our church family, as well. So I'm really proud of you, all right?
Those two probably have a little more of a special place in my heart than the rest of you because they're campus students, and that's what I've done for the last 22 years. So not that I don't love you guys too, but, you know, they get like a little extra bonus, I guess. So at the Crossings over in Wentzville and over here, we've been doing a series of lessons. I know we took a break for Easter, but we've been talking about I, God, am like different things. And this is a really cool series because it allows you the opportunity to get to know God in different ways, but it can also be a very difficult series for some people because some of the things that we have dealt with have been things like, I, God, am like a good father. And for a lot of people today, when you look at your dads and the way people have grown up, a lot of people have never experienced that before. In fact, many people have experienced quite the opposite of having a good father, right? You know, you look and you're like, man, I never had that. They were never present in my life. Or the guy who was there wasn't a good dad. So sometimes that can be hard to connect to and it can be difficult to deal with. But what God wants you to know is whether or not you had that or not in your life, that's what he longs to be for you. We've talked about things like, I, God, am like a loving husband. And some of you, those of you who are married, you know that you definitely don't always feel loved by your spouse, but also that we always, you know, we don't always do a really good job of treating each other the way that we should. So when God says, I am like a loving husband, for a lot of people, they're like, oh no, you know, like if God is like my husband, I don't want any part of this thing. But, you know, God, what he wants you to know again is he is the perfect husband. And anytime God compares himself to something here on earth, what he's really saying is, I am what this should be in your life. I'm like the perfect husband, the perfect father. And today we're going to be talking about I, God, am like a good doctor. And, you know, we've probably all had experiences with doctors, some of them probably good and some of them probably not so good. But anytime you have an experience that you have a run-in with Jesus as a physician, as God, what you're going to find out is you're not going to find a better doctor anywhere. And so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of look at God's word today and examine that. And one of the ways that we can find out what God really looked like is by looking at his son. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews 1:3, it says, the son reflects the glory of God and shows exactly what God is like. And what that passage is telling us, it says, hey, if you want to know what the Father, you want to know what God looks like, he sent his son here to show us exactly what he's like, to show us exactly who he is and what his personality is like and the way he interacts and the way he does things. If you want to know God, what God looks like, Jesus is the perfect representation of him. And so what we're going to be doing today is looking at who Jesus was. In Ezekiel 34:16, it says this when it's talking about Jesus, it says, I'll go after the lost, I'll collect the strays, and I'll doctor the injured. You see, Jesus is known as the great physician, and the heart of God is a heart that is for people. And it's for people who are struggling. And I don't know about you guys, if you've ever experienced this or not, but there's a reason that God is known as the great physician. How many of you guys have a doctor that you really like or you really enjoy? Anybody got a doctor you really like? All right. Now, if you're anything like my family, there are reasons that you like that doctor. And the first reason I think people tend to like their doctor is the same reason that why Jesus is known as a great physician. It's because it's Jesus's calling. It's not just a job that he does. It's not just something he goes, he didn't come here to collect a paycheck. When he says, I'm going to go doctor the injured, it wasn't like he was thinking, oh, I'm going to get to go down to earth. I get to leave heaven, this perfect place where everything's great, and I get to go to earth, and it's going to be awesome. No, he knew how bad it was going to be when he got here, but he had a calling upon his life that said, I care for people, and I love them, and I don't want to see people hurt, and so that's why I have to go. See, that's one of the things that makes a great doctor is when you go to the doctor, if you think they're only there to get you in and get you out and collect your money, you're not going to like that doctor, right? Because they're not going to be personal. They're not going to care about who you are. When we go to our doctor, Hannah loves our doctor because when we go there, she knows us. She knows our history. She knows our kids' names. She knows what's going on in their lives. She sits there and talks to you, right? And the reason that she does that is she has a calling that says, I am here for these people. And that's exactly what Jesus was here for. In Luke chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, it says this. Jesus answered them, those who are healthy don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have not come to get those who think they are right with God to follow me. I have come to get sinners to turn them away from their sins. See what Jesus says here? He says, listen, I have a purpose. My purpose is to come and help people who are in desperate need of me. See, what we've done with church across our country, especially here in North America, is we've made church the place where people who have all their stuff together go. You know, we go to church and everybody looks like their lives are in order and like they have it all together and everything's great and everybody looks healthy. People don't look sick. And that's the facade. That's the way we pretend, right? You could go in churches all across Collinsville right now. And I would bet you when you go in, if you meet anybody at that church and you shake their hand, how are you doing today? What's their answer going to be? I'm fine. I'm good, right? But they never really expose what's really going on inside of them. And see, what Jesus wants you to know is if you're at church today, if you're at the Crossings today, and your life is not perfect, and your life isn't good, and your life is actually kind of sick and kind of unhealthy, you're in the right spot. Because that's what he came here for. He didn't come here for everybody who has all their stuff together so that they can pretend like everything is good. What he came here for is because there are people out here, and there are people in this room who have deep hurts. And who are longing for a better life, who are longing for something more fulfilling, who want something better. And Jesus wants you to know that's okay, because that's why he came here. That was the calling, that was the purpose of his life. One of the things that you'll find out at the Crossings, no matter which one you go to, that you're gonna find out about us is that we don't like to pretend that everything's okay. You'll hear people get up here and they'll speak, and they're going to tell you about past hurts, about abuse they've endured. You're going to hear about addictions that they face. You're going to hear about sin in their lives. You're going to hear how screwed up we are. And the reason for that is because we realize that we also were sick. We also were unhealthy, and we were in need of the great physician to come here. And that's why he came. And that's okay, because we're broken. We're messed up people. And so if you feel that way about your life, you can know that you have a great physician in Jesus, and that's what he came here to do for you, is to give you something better, to help you overcome those sicknesses in your life. And you can also know that you're in a place where you can be really comfortable with that. You know, it's always funny to me whenever you go to, you go into the ER and you see people with the masks on. And I get it, right? You know, you're like, yeah, so that they don't get everybody else sick. But it's kind of funny because you know that everybody who went there is sick in the first place. That's why they're there, right? And if you can imagine, you know, looking at this room full of people, if you could see what was really going on, you would be seeing what Jesus saw. You would see the sickness, you would see the hurt, you would see the things that are damaging our lives. And what Jesus said is, I've got to go to help fix that. I got to go help make this right. That's why he's a good doctor. That's why he is a great physician, because he loves us that much. The second reason that Jesus is known as the great physician is because of his level of capability. You know, there are doctors who are very, very capable doctors, and then there are others who aren't so good. A while back, I went to a hospital in St. Charles County, and I got there, and I had a sore, and I was like, I told the lady, I said, hey, I don't know what's going on, but this is like not normal. Something's wrong. And she was like, oh, okay, we'll check it out. I don't think it's that big a deal. And I told her, I was like, no, I think I have a staph infection or something. So they bring the doctor in. 20 minutes later, send me on my way. You're fine. It'll be all good. They sent me home with a staph infection. They're lucky I didn't die because the doctor wasn't very capable. He sent me home with a staph infection, and it was pretty bad. And my whole back ended up swelling up because of it. And the doctor just didn't know what he was doing. Well, when it comes to Jesus, the great thing is that's not what you have to worry about. Have you guys seen the show The Good Doctor about the autistic kid who's a doctor? If you haven't seen that show, you got to go watch it because it's an awesome show. But in the show, the guy, the doctor, he is not very good with people, but he's brilliant. He's like, it's kind of like House, right? Terrible with people, but if you're sick, that's the doctor you want on your case because he's that capable and that good. Well, that's the way Jesus is. He's that capable. It says this in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 9. This is Paul talking to the church. He says, in fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God, on God who raises the dead. See, Paul's talking here and he's talking about their lives and look what he says. He says, listen, we expected to die. Now, for the members at the Crossings, those of you who I know this is us, right? You know, and not in the sense you expected to die physically, but I know where our lives were at before God, many of you. And I know what was going on in the sin and the sickness and the decisions that we've made and things other people did to us. It made us feel like giving up. You know, it made you look at life and be like, man, this is not even worth it. We feel dead inside when those things take place. And when we make decisions that destroy us and our relationships and our lives, it's an awful thing to deal with. And here Paul's saying, he's like, man, we expected that we were going to die. But then he says, but as a result, basically, we didn't have anywhere else to turn. You know, you get to that point in your life where you hit rock bottom. Any of you have had friends who are addicts, this is kind of that moment that you pray for them to hit eventually so that they don't die. And that's that moment where they look and they realize, I'm going to die if something doesn't change. You want that moment to take place to where they have nowhere else to look but to the great physician, to where they have nowhere else to go. They have nowhere else to turn. They're at that moment in their life. They're like, this can't get any worse than it is right now. Something has to change. One of my friends I grew up with, he grew up, pretty much lived in our house. He walked away from his relationship with God a long time ago, started making some bad decisions. And I was talking to him on the phone one day, and I'm like, it's just going to keep getting worse, bro. And he's like, why do you say that? And I said, because I've been praying that it will. And he's like, are you kidding me? And he was angry with me. He was so mad at me. And I was like, yeah, I'm dead serious, James. I'm serious as a heart attack. Why would you do that? Because I know that what really matters is that you have a relationship with God. And until you see that, until you hit rock bottom, you're never going to turn to Him until you realize, I'm dead in this life where I'm at. And there's a great physician who can help heal you. That's what Paul says. He says, listen, we thought we were going to die. But as a result, we finally gave up and we looked to the only one who could really help us. And he says, we look to God, the one who can raise the dead. I challenge any of you to go find a doctor that's good. Is that good? That can raise the dead. Go find one, all right? Because it's not going to happen. There's no doctor out there besides Jesus who's capable of taking dead lives and bringing them back to life and making a heartbeat again. And that's the awesome thing about Jesus and about God is they are capable of changing everything for you. And I wouldn't say that if I hadn't seen it for myself. I tend to be a skeptical type person. Like I look at for the negative things and the skeptical things and want to argue about those things. But I've been doing ministry for 22 years. And the thing I can tell you about our church in Wentzville at the Interbelt and now here in Collinsville is I've seen God do things that no one ever thought He could do because He's that capable. He is that capable of turning lives around and bringing back a dead life and making the heartbeat again and giving you a purpose and a passion and something to live for. We serve a very capable God. That's why He's the great physician. Jeremiah 32:27 says, stay alert. I am God. The God of everything living, is there anything I can't do? And the answer to that is no, there's nothing that He can't do. Everything is possible for God. And if He can raise the dead, He can take care of any issue that you've faced. You know, again, like I said, a lot of times people go to church And they think they have to hide things or be ashamed about the sickness in their lives. That always struck me as weird. When people wanted to hide, they went to the doctor and they got a bad diagnosis and they wanted to hide that diagnosis like it really wasn't there. That never really made sense to me at all, because what good does that do to act like you're not sick or to pretend to other people like everything is good? It does no good for you. It doesn't provide you with any comfort or any care, anything like that. It keeps you from finding healing. And what I want you to know is, if you're visiting the Crossings today, God is capable of taking care of anything that you have going on in your life. And I would just about guarantee you somebody in this room, and if not in this room, somebody at the Crossings Wentzville or the Crossings Interbelt has been through the same thing that you've been through, has done the same terrible thing that you think is so awful nobody else would have done, or has had awful things done to you. I would guarantee you that God's already dealt with that. He is more than capable of handling that issue. There's no reason to worry about hiding those things, because he's capable. And the third reason that Jesus is known as a great physician is because of his level of care. Because of his level of care. You see, great doctors are multiple things. First of all, they're very, very capable. But the second thing you want, like I said before, is a care, a compassion, a concern for who you are as a person when you go to a doctor. You want to know that what happens to you matters to your doctor. And it makes it so much easier to go to a doctor that you know isn't there just to get your money, just to get your insurance, just to get these things from you, but to have a doctor who deeply cares for who you are. 1 Peter 5:7 says this: God cares for you, so turn all of your worries over to him. You see, it was his calling to come here, and he's capable enough to handle it, and he actually cares about you. And because of that, what the Bible is telling you in that passage, he says, because God cares for you, turn everything over to him. Stop trying to deal with it on your own. You don't have the capability to deal with this by yourself, and you have someone who wants to help you deal with it, that cares that deeply for you, that they want to work in your life. Allow them to do so. You know, I've gotten so frustrated with friends in the past who I look at and I'm like, I want to help them so much, right? Or my kids. Like, you know, you're like, I can help you with that. And they get upset, or they get rebellious or arrogant and prideful, and they shove you away. And the whole time you're watching, you're like, this is going to be a disaster, right? You've had people like that in your life. You're like, I could help you, but they won't allow it. And you're like, they're going to mess it up so bad. And it's so frustrating, because you do love them and you do care for them. You have this grave concern for them, but they won't allow you to help. It's so frustrating. Well, that's what we do to God. He says, listen, I am more than capable of dealing with any issue that you are facing in your life, and I care about you. Let me help. But see, at some point, what it really comes down to is whether or not we really want to find healing, whether we want to find the help that's out there. Whether you really desire to get better or not is something that responsibility is on your shoulders. See, you've got to decide if you are going to let the great physician do his work or not. So what we really need to be asking is, once we realize how great of a physician God is, what we really need to say is, what can I do to benefit from the great physician? Because there are a lot of people out there who have the opportunity to benefit from a relationship with God, but they're never going to experience the healing that he offers because they never go to him. You know, men, we're stubborn, right? We don't like to go to the doctor very often. I'm sure there's some ladies here that are like that too. But as a guy, I can speak for myself. I don't like going to the doctor. I've been telling Hannah for like 2 or 3 months. I'm like, hey, I need to go get this checked out. But have I called yet? No, I haven't called the doctor and set up an appointment. Because we're stubborn like that. I've got to decide at some point whether or not I'm going to make the call and I'm going to go find benefit from going to the doctor. Same thing in our relationship with God. So what can I do to benefit from the great physician? First of all, I can ask God to examine me. In Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, it says this: God, examine me and know my heart. Test me and see if there's any bad thing in me. That's a scary thing to say to God. That's a scary thing to say to anybody, actually. Hey, look that deeply at me. See if you can find anything wrong. If you can find anything gross in me, if you can find it, I want to know about it. See, for a lot of people, the most embarrassing thing, when you think about going to the doctor, right? There are things that you have to do in a doctor's office that are embarrassing, right? You go to the doctor. I remember when I was a little kid and I had to get my one of my first, my athletic, physicals, right? And you go into the doctor and you go in and you're standing there and what's he say? Drop your drawers. Man, for a teenage boy, you're like, what the heck? You know, like, and anytime you go into a doctor and you think about that, you know, if they're going to have to do a full examination, you're going to have to get naked. And most people are not real comfortable with that. You're like, I don't know. And you think about walking through the hospital in that robe with your butt flapping out the back of it, right? That's an embarrassing thing to have to deal with because, you know, you're exposing yourself to someone, and that's difficult to do. But if you look at what David says in that passage, God, examine me, know my heart, test me, see if there's any bad thing in me. What he is saying is like, here it is, God, I'm laying out the full Monty right in front of you. This is it right here. This is what I look like. This is who I am. This is what's going on in my life. I want you to look at all of it. And I want you to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's what God says he wants to do. It is very difficult to be that humble. It's very difficult for us to be that raw and that real before God and before anybody. But the thing is if you won't allow the great physician to examine you, he's not going to be able to help you. You can go to the doctor and you can give them vague suggestions of what's wrong with you, but until you're really honest with them, they're going to have a very hard tracking down the thing that could kill you. And so what you need to do is when you go to a doctor, you have to be honest, right? You have to say, here it is, this is it. And no matter how embarrassing it is, if you want to live, you're going to be honest. Well, in our relationship with God, in our emotional lives, in our spiritual lives, that's what we have to do with God. We have to say, here it is, it's right here in front of you. Psalm 26 verse 1 says this, examine me, God, from head to foot. Order your battery of tests. Make sure I'm fit. Inside and out. He's saying, listen, I want you to see inside and out. Make sure that I'm okay, that I'm what I need to be. Hebrews 4:13 says a similar thing. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. He says, listen, God already sees it anyway. You know, it's not like you go to the doctor and you have Clark Kent for your doctor and he can look right through and see everything anyway, right? You got to get naked for him to see. God doesn't work that way. See, God can see those things, but whether or not you're going to allow him to examine you and give you a prescription to fix the illness within you, you're not going to find healing. And so what we got to do is we got to go to God and say, all right, God, I want you to examine me. See, God, some churches will teach you that God will force his will and his grace upon you. That's not what the Bible teaches at all right? It's just not. You're not gonna find that that's what the Bible teaches at all. We have free will. We have the opportunity to decide whether or not we are going to allow God to examine our hearts and our lives and work in them. He can look and see it all, but until you say, God, I want you to intervene, I want you to be involved, he's not going to do it for you. And so we've got to take that step, just like I need to call the doctor. We've got to take that step to God and say, God, I need you to examine what's going on in me. And so today when you're in here, you know, right now, it's kind of like you're in like the waiting room of the doctor's office when you come to church. And you can come and you can sit there and you can read some pamphlets in the waiting room, right? And you can talk to some other patients and you can hear a little bit about it. But until you actually get into the doctor's office, until you really get serious about it and sit down eyeball to eyeball with the doctor and allow him to take a look at you, you're not going to find the healing that you're looking for. It doesn't do you any good to go to church and sit here like this, like you're sitting in the waiting room and leave every Sunday and never take anything deeper. Yeah, you might get little tidbits, but you're not really getting examined. You're not really getting what God wants for your life if this is all you do right here. It takes something much more personal and much more intimate in order for your life to really start changing. But see, in North America, in American Christianity, that's what we do, right? We go to church and we leave and we come back the next Sunday. We go to church, we leave, we come back. We go, we come, we go, we come. And nothing ever really penetrates and nothing gets deep. And we never really allow God to examine us and to be able to help us. And if you want to find the help that you're longing for, the healing that you're longing for, you have to let God examine you. And God has two primary tools that he uses to examine us. The first one is his word. In Hebrews 4:12-13, it says, his powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything. Now, when you actually look at that whole passage in context, it says, you know, it goes down through and it says, the word of God is living and active. And what that's telling you is it's not like it's some medical journal from the 1800s, right? If you went into your doctor and you're like, I think I have cancer, and they went and picked up a medical journal from the 1800s and they sat on the table like, let's see how to fix this. If you're smart, you're running, right? You're like, no, I'm not going to a doctor who's using medicine that's hundreds of years old because it doesn't work anymore. Well, what that passage tells us is that's not what God's word is like. It's up to date. It's living and active. It doesn't change. See, the human condition, the sin that we live in, the things we get involved in, yeah, we think it's new and special to us, but it's not. It's been going on since the beginning. We deal with the same sin, the same problems, the same brokenness, the same bad decisions, the same hurts, all those things that they've been dealing with for thousands of years. And God says, my word is living and active. And then he says, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It's like a scalpel. He says, it cuts to penetrate, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It says it judges the thoughts and the attitude of our heart. And see, what the picture you get of God's word is of it being like this scalpel, and it cuts you open. And that's not a fun thing to think about, right? When you go to the doctor and like, you're going to have surgery, you're like, oh, that means you're going to have to cut me open. There's just something about humans, we're like, I don't want to be cut open, right? But if it benefits you, if it's going to be the thing that saves you, are you going to allow the doctor to cut you? Absolutely. If you're smart, you will. Even though you're scared, even though you're afraid, you understand that the scalpel is going to cut into you and it's going to cut out that cancer. It's going to cut out that sickness and it's going to get rid of it. And it's going to make you better. That's what the word of God was designed to do. That's why it's so important that we get into it and allow God to examine us with his word. Why you get to do that here when you're sitting here or sitting down in a Bible study with someone who you came to church with and really digging in and saying, all right, I need to let God's word examine me and cut out the bad stuff in my life that's hurting me, that's keeping me from being what I need to be. In John 6:63, it says, the spirit that gives life, the flesh doesn't give life. The words I told you are spirit, and they give life. See, Jesus is saying, listen, I left my word for you as a tool to be able to help you get better. You know, when you start digging into God's word, you will start seeing things about all kinds of stuff in your life. You'll be able to look and you'll be able to say, man, you know what? I've been accepting responsibility for the abuse that I took, and that's not my responsibility at all. That's someone else's problem, and I'm going to allow God to heal me from that. And you're going to look into God's word, and you're going to see how you're able to do that. You're going to look and you're going to say, man, I've been doing this action, and it's hurting the people around me, and it's hurting my life, and it's selfish, and I've got to stop that. I'm going to get rid of that. And as you start doing that with God's word, your life starts getting better. And you start feeling more healthy and more vibrant, because that's what God's word was designed to do. His first tool is his word. His second tool is his people. Psalm 141 verse 5 says this, let the godly strike me. It will be a kindness. If they correct me, it is soothing medicine. Don't let me refuse it. Now this passage runs contrary to everything that we've learned in our lives, because what we've learned in our lives is I can do it by myself. I don't need anyone else. Everybody else needs to stay out of my business. They need to leave me alone and let me live my life. Let me do me. That's the kind of society that we live in. So when you read a passage like this that said God wants to use other people in your life to help you find healing, we're like, I don't know about that, right? You know, you think about even going to a counselor, even though in a lot of ways that's accepted in our society, there is a large percentage of people that are like, I ain't going to tell somebody else all my crap. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to go be that honest, right? It's a scary thing to do. But what God wants you to know is that allowing his people into your life, while it might be scary, while it makes you vulnerable, it also allows you to find the healing that you need to find. He says, let the godly strike me. It will be a kindness. You know, I tell my kids, when I discipline my kids, I'll spank my kids, but you know what I follow that discipline up with every time is a conversation with them to tell them, hey, like, this behavior is going to hurt you later in life if you don't straighten it out now. And the reason that God put me in your life is so that I can discipline you now. Even though you hate it, you don't like it, I know it's hard, I'm doing this because I love you and I want to see you be better in the future and avoid all these hurts that so many other people have to deal with. You see, while a godly person strikes you, the goal of that discipline in your life is to bring about healing. The Bible says that actually it's like good medicine. You know, there are people in my life who've said hard things to me, who have said, Carrie, you're this, you're prideful, you're selfish, you're lazy, you're, you know, all these things. My wife's really good at this, you know, but they say those things, and their goal and their intent is to help me be better than what I am. And I need to understand that, and I need to accept that God wants to allow other people to be involved in my life to help me. If you're holding everybody at an arm's length distance, you need to understand you're keeping God from really working the way that he designed it. Because what you find out when you look at the New Testament is God, over and over and over again, he uses people to help other people. That was part of his plan. That's why we have small groups at the Crossings. Anything good that happens at any of our churches on a large level happens because of the small group. It happens because of the relationships, because of the intimacy, because that's the way God designed us to engage one another. And if you're not engaging with God's people, you're missing out on part of the prescription that you need in order to find healing. Because he's going to use his word and he wants to use his people. See, we have to allow God to examine us. The second thing we have to do is I have to accept God's diagnosis. You know, whenever God says, this is what's wrong with you, it's going to destroy you, this is what's got to be fixed, a lot of times what we want to do is we want to say, I think I'll go find a second opinion, right? You know, if you've ever went to a doctor before and they've told you something that's wrong with you, right, and it's a really scary diagnosis, a lot of times people will say, I'm going to go get a second opinion, right? And then they go to get a second opinion. And what do you do, though, then, if you go and that second doctor says, yeah, it's the same thing the first doctor told you? How foolish would we be to say, you know what, I'm going to go get a third opinion, right? And then you jump to another. I'm going to go get the fourth and the fifth and the sixth opinion. And eventually, we have to face the facts, right? At some point, we have to look and say, this is what's wrong with me. This is who I am. This is what's going on. This is the diagnosis. I've got to get it fixed. But when it comes to God, we're not very good at that because he's like, here's your problem. We're like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to face that. I don't want to change that. I enjoy this. And God's like, well, that's fine. You can enjoy it for now, but it's going to kill you in the long run if you don't do something about it. See, in Mark 2:17, Jesus is talking to some people and he says this, healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. I didn't come to invite good people to be my followers. I came to invite sinners. And what you find out in that passage is that we all have a sin problem. As a matter of fact, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and continue to fall short of God's glory. See, God's diagnosis for what's wrong in our lives, what's wrong in our world is sin. It's disobeying God. It's not listening to what he has to say. It's not doing the things he's commanded us to do. It's going out and doing things he's told us not to do. Breaking God's law is what sin is. And the Bible says that sin is fatal, that it disconnects us from a relationship with God. And it keeps us from experiencing all of the benefits of having a relationship with God. And God's diagnosis for all of us is that we have a sin issue that has to be taken care of or it will destroy our lives. Jeremiah 6:14 says this. It says, they treat my people's wounds as though they were not serious, saying, everything is all right, everything's all right, but it's not all right. See, a lot of times when it comes to our lives and the sin that we're involved in, what God looks and he sees this like massive gashing wound that's just pouring blood and we're going to bleed out. And God looks at that and he's like, you're going to die. And we're like, it's just a scratch, right? It's no big deal. And we blow it off and we push it off and we think that it's going to get better. And what God's looking, he's going, it's not going to get better. You're going to die. This is not a joke. It's not a game. It's not fun. You're sick. And sin eventually will destroy your life. See, for a lot of our members, they've been there. They blew it off. They didn't think it was a big deal until they ruined a marriage, until they got so drunk one night that they beat up on their kids, until they, you know, and you fill in the blank. That's what our membership, that's who we have been. We were people who didn't take seriously what sin was. And we didn't listen to what God had to say, and we blew it off until finally it all blew up in our faces. And God wants you to know you've got to accept his diagnosis or you're not going to get any better, because until you accept the diagnosis, you're never going to deal with things, right? Addicts learn that. That's the first thing you learn, right? You got to be willing to admit that you have an issue, that you have a problem. I'm an addict. I'm an alcoholic. I'm this. I'm that. We all have those things, and we need to acknowledge, hey, I'm a sinner. And I've done things that are going to hurt and destroy my life. Hebrews 4:2 says this, we have the message just as they did. but they failed to believe what they heard and the message didn't do them any good. Don't be that person. Don't be that person who has the message, who has it right in front of them, who has a diagnosis from the great physician that says this is your issue, and completely ignore the truth and not gain anything from it, not benefit from the fact that you have a God that loves you enough to diagnose your issues, to examine you, and to also be able to help you. You see, he gave us the word and he gave us his people so that we would be able to find healing, not so that we could ignore it. You know, when the doctor gives you a diagnosis, if you leave, he says, hey, you got 6 months to live if you don't have this surgery. Don't be that foolish person who's like, oh, I'm going to wait 6 months then, right? And then I'll try to fix it. And then it's too late. And there's nothing that can be done. Be the kind of person who listens to God's diagnosis. And then finally, I have to act upon God's prescription. I've done this before. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm guilty of it. I went to the doctor and like, yeah, you need to go get this antibiotic. You need to go pick it up. And I totally just left it sitting at the pharmacy and didn't go get it. Dumb, right? You look at that and you're like, what is wrong with you? Why would you not go pick it up? Because if you know me very well, my mind is like, it's like crazy inside. There's all kinds of stuff going on. I forget things and I don't do the things I'm supposed to. And it's stupid, right? Well, God tells us, listen, I have a prescription for you to get this fixed. This is what you need to do. How foolish it would be not to go and pick it up at the pharmacy. James 1:22 says, do what God's teaching says. When you only listen and do nothing, you are fooling yourselves. The book of James tells us over and over again, listen, if you think that you can say you believe what God says but do nothing about it, it says that kind of faith isn't faith at all. As a matter of fact, it's dead. And there are lots of churches out there that will teach you that. All you got to do is believe. You don't have to do anything. They need to read the book of James because he says, listen, it is foolish to only listen and only hear these things but then do nothing about them. When God gives you a prescription, he diagnoses you and says, this is your problem. It's a sin issue. Here's how you fix it. It is foolish of us to do nothing about it. In Lamentations 3, verse 40, it says this. Let's take a good look at the way we're living and reorder our lives under God. What he's telling you is he's saying, you have a sin problem and you need to make some rearrangements. See, Jesus' calling was to come here and to deal with our sin issue. That's what he came here to do. He came here to deal with our problem. And the Bible says that he came here to live a perfect, sinless life, like Wes talked about in Isaiah 53, so that he could take on the sins of the world, so that he could give you a prescription. And when you look at what the Bible has to say, it says, listen, God wants to forgive your sin, and he wants to help you work through it and help you become more. Romans 6 paints this beautiful picture of what God wants to do in our lives. And you get this idea when you read the book of Romans that God says, listen, you're living your life right now, and that life it's going to fall apart. You're going to die. But what you can do is you can surrender to God. You can be baptized. You can be raised to a new life and have all of those sins forgiven. You can have all that issue dealt with. Does that mean you're never going to mess up again? No, but it means that God's going to take your old heart, and he's going to replace it with a new one, and he's going to help you live a different life. And I've seen God do that over and over and over again in the last 22 years of doing ministry. I've seen God take people whose lives were falling apart, who were dying, and I've seen him restore them to something so much better. That's what he longs to do in all of our lives. But we've got to make a decision about whether or not we're going to go to the great physician, whether or not we're going to allow him to examine us, give us a diagnosis, and if we're going to actually sit down and accept his prescription and take it. If you want to know what that's really all about, sit down and study the Bible with somebody and ask them to show me, what's this prescription look like, because I want my life to be different. And someone who's been down that road that you're on right now, they can sit there and do that with you. For our members at the Crossings, we need to remember that God has given us a great gift in a relationship with him. And we would be foolish to going back to the same things that caused us to have health problems in the first place. And we've got to avoid those things. And we have to continue listening to the great physician, because he not only knows how to heal us, but he knows how to keep us from getting sick again. And we need to listen to what he has to say. I don't know exactly where you are right now for everybody in here, but I know that God longs to do something good in your life. In your bulletin, there's a thing called the Crossings Communication Card. And there's a place for like a name and things like that. And it's not so that we can stalk you, I promise. But it's so that we can have contact with you. But there, more than that, there's important things on there, like I would like a personal Bible study. I want to be a part of a small group. You know, we talked about God uses his word to help show us what's going on in our lives. He uses his people. Take advantage of the tools that God has given you to find healing. And mark a box on there. You know, there's a place for a prayer request. Hey, this is what's going on in my life. I need God's people to pray for me because I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to handle it. That's what the church is here for. That's what the Crossings is here for. Allow the great physician the opportunity to really work in your life by listening to what he has to say. In just a minute, the worship team is going to come up. They're going to sing a song. It's an opportunity for you to fill out that card during the second song. It's an opportunity for you to put that card in the basket as it goes by. For our members, put your card in, your contribution as that goes by. For our guests, don't worry about putting money in there. Just put that card in there. We didn't get you here to get something from you, to get money from you. We got you here because we all really truly believe that Jesus is the great physician and he has the answers to fix the things that you're facing in your life. And so just put that card in there and allow God a chance to do that. All right, let's pray and then the worship team will come up. Father in heaven, thank you again for being a good father, a loving husband, a great physician, God, and showing us what those things really should look like. God, help us to turn to you with the sickness that's going on in our lives. God, work on our hearts. Help us to be people who are willing and to listen to you and accept your diagnosis and to take the prescription that you've given us, God, so that our lives can be different, so that we can find healing and that everything can turn around in our lives, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.